Hey, we're back here at the Meadows at Mystic Lake. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole, along with Tana B. We're here for the Vikings Children's Charity Golf Fundraiser. First time we've been out here to the golf course. You can hear the breeze in the background. Winds are picking up a little bit here. Joining us now, we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Mike Zimmer. Coach, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Yeah. Can I call you Zim? I feel like we got a pretty good vibe. I mean, I've just met you, you know, 3 minutes ago, but can I call you Zim?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot better than what a lot of people call me, especially the players sometimes.
Well,
or fans.
You must be their best friend today. You let them out early out of practice. I thought you had this reputation of the taskmaster, slave driver. You let them out early today.
Well, we kind of schedule that so they can get out here to the golf tournament and lose some balls.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a few out here that'll be lost. I saw your general manager, Rick Spielman, on the range.
He's a terrible golfer.
I was just going to say, he could make a Herschel Walker-like trade again. He would still be a better general manager than a golfer. Just an awful swing.
Yeah,
just,
it's terrible.
Yeah, it just wasn't any
good. And the worst part is he thinks he's good, and so he gets really frustrated on the course.
Sure.
You know.
Are you any good? Do you play? Are you all right?
I'm not any good. I used to play almost every day in Dallas when I was there, and I was pretty good. And then I got to be I was like a 7 handicap, and I said, I'm going to be really good. And I went to this instructor, got me on film, and did all this stuff. Now I feel like I'm Charles Barkley with my swing.
Well, you played a lot when you were in Dallas?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that team was pretty good. How did you get away with that? Were you guys so good you didn't even have to practice? You just go play golf all day?
Well, I lived on a golf course, so I'd go out there later.
Sure.
In the afternoon.
Very nice. You got to like that.
It was off-season, not during the season.
Yeah. Well, who's the coach? There was a college basketball coach who basically said, if you play golf, don't bother applying for a job with me.
Because the Georgia Tech guy.
Yeah, I just don't want to. How about you? Do you have any rules or any provisions against coaches for not if they play golf or anything like that?
No, but Lou Holtz used to ask him in the interview, do you have golf clubs in your trunk? And if you did, he didn't hire you. But
really?
Yeah. But, it's important that we work so hard during the season that it's important that guys get a chance to go out and spend some time with their family this time of year, because once we hit training camp, it's over.
Yeah. When, I know it's well documented that you interviewed for a few head coaching jobs and got passed over, got this one, you go 7-9, then 11-5 and win the North. Do you have any kind of feeling of like, what do you think of me now? Look at me now, look at me now. Kind of, I think you'd have every right to feel that way.
No, I don't feel that way. Okay. I feel like, every day we got to go out and earn it. We got to get better. I have to get better. It's each year is a different year, and maybe someday when I'm holding up that trophy, I'll be able to say something like that. But I'm typically not that cocky.
I'm not sure how much you listen to the media, if you read things and or watch television, listen to the radio, or anything like that. But I think you're pretty well received around here. I think by people, especially fans, they like your attitude. They like they think you're real on the level with them. That you whatever you say, you're telling the truth. You're not trying to, cloak anything in any kind of secrecy or stuff like that. You seem like you just kind of call it as it is. Do you feel like you do that? Is it just like, I got nothing to hide? I just tell you how it is. I either like what I see, don't like what I see.
And yeah. Well, I think it's important that, especially with the players, that I'm honest with them, because if they don't know what I want or how I want them to be, then we'll never get it right. But I'm not smart enough to fake it with the media or the fans. So I just try to be myself and go about my business.
Is it? Are there certain players that it's difficult to be honest to? Or are there some that can't really take that as well as others?
I think as long as you're honest with all of them, they get it. I don't treat them all the same way. I'm much harder on the young guys, the rookies, because I'm trying to mold them into what I want. And then the veteran guys, I'll use a little different tone. But, they still get some digs at them here and there,
Well, and do you find some you're almost like an amateur psychologist. Some guys need tough love. Other guys need to be handled maybe more with kid gloves. Some guys need more praise than other. Some guys you might not even have to talk to. You just tell them once, they look at you, and they get the message across.
Yeah, the guys are all different. I had a guy in Cincinnati who was a good player, and I could not yell at him because he would go in the tank. And so every time I talked, he didn't want to be embarrassed in front of everybody else. And so and you find that out fairly quickly when you get after him a couple times. But he was a guy that I always had to put my arm around, and I kind of whisper to him, what I want him to do, and he played great. But each guy's different. Harrison Smith's a guy, you can just tell him one time one thing, and he picks it up really quick. Other guys, it takes a little while.
You have a reputation of being able to take players, particularly defensive players, that maybe weren't, you know, first-round draft picks, all-world this, all-world that, and developing into some pretty good players, particularly because the way I interpret it is you're able to take a guy and put him into a position where he can succeed as part of a unit. Do you think that's one of your strengths is coaching up guys that might not be – you're getting more out of them than maybe they would have had without some coaching up?
Well, I think that's what coaches are supposed to do. They're supposed to try and make guys better, find out what they can do good, try to put them in those positions. But with us, it's all about, you know, since I came in here and really almost my whole career, all we've ever done was try to teach the team aspect. And it's hard in professional sports because, you know, guys get paid on their sacks or their interceptions or things like that. But one of the things we try to do is explain why you doing your job helps somebody else do theirs, and consequently somebody else is helping you do your job. So you have a chance to make more plays, or you have a chance to be good as a team. And you know, in professional sports and wherever it is, if the team does good, everybody's going to have success. So they may think that, you know, this player is a little bit better than really what he is throughout the league, seeing it, and that, you know, he may go somewhere as a free agent and make a lot of money.
You'd mentioned a little bit earlier that you think you still need to improve as a coach. What do you think you need to improve on?
Well, some of the things I said something to the team today that I probably shouldn't have said. It was not nice, but you know, there's a lot of things like that. I think I'm becoming more well-rounded. You know, I'm with the offense a lot more than what I have been probably the first 2 years. You know, talking about different schemes and players here and doing things differently. You know, I'm looking at more through the whole picture as opposed to really the defensive side, which is what I kind of focused on. You know, especially when I first got here. So, you know, that you know, you can always continue to work on the evaluation of players better. Trying to, you know, and Rick does a lot of this stuff with the roster and things like that. But I do feel like I can kind of communicate with him a little bit better on, you know, like yesterday I asked him for a list of all the potential practice squad players on our team, you know, so I can kind of just start getting a general idea of the roster and things like that.
How different, I mean, from your expectation, you've never been a head coach before, so you get the head coaching job. Is there anything as a head coach that is really different than you thought it would be, tougher than you thought it would be, easy? You know, so, you know, you probably had expectations of what it would be like to be a head coach, but are the expectations the reality as well?
Well, I don't think you ever really know what you're getting into until you actually do the job. You know, I wasn't worried about, you know, when I was coaching 26 guys on defense, I wasn't worried about coaching 53 guys. I didn't think that was going to be a big issue. But Bob Hagan, who's sitting here with me now, he knows that, you know, when I have to do media 5 out of 7 days a week, you got to go in right after the game and talk about the media. Everything you do is scrutinized. You know, you make a call, you go for it on fourth down, you don't make it. Those things all become a lot more magnified in what you do when you're calling defenses and make a bad call. You know, they put on the head coach. So
sure.
You know, it's so a lot of those kind of things, more so scheduling. You know, like today I messed up. I should have, you know, I had lunch at noon. We got off to Praxville at 10:40, so I probably should have had some kind of box lunch or something for the players at 11. So that was a thing I had to write down as a note to
could have called Jimmy John's. They're freaky fast. They could have had it over there right away.
Yeah,
for
well,
you.
Gigi does a great job. Yeah. Our coach, she does a fantastic okay. job. So,
right, yeah, I don't know what Ziggy would say if all of a sudden he sees this bill come over from Jimmy John's. What's this all about? Yeah, when it wasn't in the works, I guess that. You know, the quarterbacks, speaking of being scrutinized, the quarterback position is the most scrutinized, and every town either likes their quarterback, hates their quarterback, or somewhere in between. Just your analysis of Bridgewater to this point, is he where you thought he'd be, ahead of schedule, behind schedule, or is that even hard to even say right now?
Yeah, it's hard to say because, you know, the one thing he got a chance to play in, I guess it was 11 ball games his rookie year, which I think expedited things a little bit. I think he's on a good track right now. I think he feels really comfortable. I think he sees things really quickly now. I can see the development and improvement in him so far this spring, especially the way he's throwing the ball, the way he gets it out, the way he's checking protections and doing all the different things that the guys have to do. And it's just kind of a maturity thing that he's been going through. But I like him, and, you know, he's obviously – you know, I keep telling everybody this. You know, I hear all of the deficiencies of Teddy Bridgewater, what this is. And, you know, you talk about throwing a deep ball or, you know.
He's just a game manager.
Yeah, all that stuff. But I saw, you know, we threw a takeoff today, a nine ball. And, you know, so I said, well, I'm going to count how far he threw this thing. And, you know, he didn't try to muscle it or anything like that. It's 55 yards in the air. You know, you're not going to get very many times when you're going to throw the ball past that anyway. But like I tell everything, the most important thing for the quarterback is, does he win? And the thing I know about Teddy, he hasn't turned the ball over. He takes good care of the ball. He gets us in the right position. He understands how we have to play as a team. And those things are more important than arm strength or, you know, if they can gun the out from the far sideline or do all those. Winning is the most important thing in this league. I mean, there's a lot of great quarterbacks with talent that are not winners. And whether it's because their offense or the defense or the special teams or whatever it is, they don't win. And to me, you know, my job is based on winning, and his job is based on winning.
Now, there's been this theory out here, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that Teddy would be better in the shotgun more often, whereas Adrian apparently doesn't like to take the ball out of the shotgun formation. Is there any truth to that at all?
Well, in college, Teddy was always in shotgun, so I think he was more comfortable with it. Now, we're working real hard at getting – because we're a run-first team that has to have play-action pass. And with the running back that we have in there, we're going to get some people to bite on play-action passes. So he's got to get more comfortable under the center. But like this spring, we've been working quite a bit with Adrian out of the gun and getting the run, his steps down, the path that he has to take when he's in the gun. And I actually think it's going to help him a lot, too, being able to do both. But we have to marry those two segments together. And today he had a really nice run out of the gun. He's changed the path that he's been in the gun, and we've studied it real hard, worked real hard at it, and so far so good.
Well, what about there's always been the criticism, at least again from fans and media, and I don't know if the coaching staff feels the same way or the guys that play the game, but that Peterson can't catch the ball out of the backfield. That's not a strength of his. Third down, he comes off the field a lot. How can you have your running back only on for? Is that all stuff true? Is he still adjusting to catch the ball in the backfield? Kenny will be more involved.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be more involved or not, but he catches the ball pretty good. But you know, there's more to it for the backs. It's a lot about protection. It's about knowing who to block. It's about where to get to, and you know, different routes. You know, I don't think it's important. I mean, it's important that he's in there some on third down, but it's not important that he's in there all the time. You know, he doesn't need to play 65 plays a game either, even though he wants to. You know, it's a long season. He had 300 some carries last year, and he's going to get plenty of opportunities.
How about Cordero Patterson? People are waiting for him to have a breakout season. He just hasn't. The Vikings didn't pick up his option. Most people assume this is a big training camp and preseason for him.
Yeah, I think it is too, but I'll say this, you know, because I've been hard on him. This is the best I've ever seen him since he's been here. He's running good routes. He's catching the ball good. He's really been motivated to do well this spring. So every day I walk up to him, I say, okay, you put three good days together. Can you make – now it's got to make it four. Let's do another week this week. Let's, you know, so I've been very impressed with him the way – and what he's done this spring. Now he's got to carry it over to training camp and all that stuff. But if it continues to go on, he's going to help us.
The offensive line, you clearly wanted to have a big competition here. You got Sullivan coming back, Lotholt coming back, and then you acquired a couple of guys. Do you have any idea how that's going to play out at this moment, or do you think it's going to be a long time before you figure that out?
Not yet. You know, one of the things that I talked to coaches about this the other day, I don't want to even – evaluate and make decisions based on where we're in, when we're in shorts and helmets. You know, I have to see them block. I have to, you know, with pads on, I have to see them how they come out, and then try to work the combinations. We'll start working some different combinations early in camp so I can, we can kind of take a look at it. But I don't want to say, okay, you're the left guard or you're the right guard based on what we've done in these OTAs. I don't think it's fair to anybody.
You're a big fan of Barr, right? You think he can be really good, right?
I do. I think he can be really good. If you know, he's got so much talent and ability, and Anthony sometimes can be his own worst enemy because he's very smart. He catches on things. He's physical, and sometimes he allows his athletic ability, so he coasts once in a while. Whereas if he would, you know, be the same tempo all the time, I think he could be pretty darn good.
When he was drafted, is that all 100% Rick Spielman and his scouts, or are you pushing for a guy like that?
Well, actually what happened was, you know, we have a stack of guys that we talk about, and Rick really liked him. And so he came and he said, hey, what about this guy? How would you use him? How can you fit him in? You know, he hasn't played really in your defense before, so what's your vision of the player? And so I told him, and we talked about it, and he always asked me, he says, you feel comfortable with if we take this guy or not? And I told him, yeah. So it's worked out good. Rick and I have a good relationship, you know, with all that kind of stuff. We communicate well together. I think we're all on the same page about what kind of guys we want. And if, you know, if we have disagreements, which really I think we've had one since I've been here, if we have disagreements, I might make him mad sometimes, but well, maybe he makes me mad too. But I think we've had one disagreement since I've been here, and we settle that fairly quickly. But you know, we get along good, and we have the same vision of what kind of players we want on this team. And you know, there's been guys that I haven't wanted here that he said, okay, I'll see if I can move them, or we'll cut them, or whatever.
Another question or two. You went offense in the first round this year with the first pick. You took Megaquan. Generally speaking, it seems like rookie wide receivers generally don't have a large impact in the rookie season. Historically, it's been the way. I mean, Randy Moss, of course, did, but most guys, seems like there's, is that because there is a bigger learning curve, or is that just the nature of the position? And do you expect to have a big, I mean, I know you'd like, obviously, for him to have a big impact. Is that something that's in the cards, you think?
Well, he has the ability to have a big impact. It all, you know, with all these young guys, really it's up to them how fast they learn, how fast they catch on. He's got an awful lot of ability. You know, there's some things right now that he's got to work on that I think he knows what he has to work on. And we'll just kind of see how it goes as we continue to go down the road.
This might be a dumb question, but you played at TCF Bank Stadium for 2 years. Now you get a new, brand-new indoor stadium.
It's actually a great question.
Does your style of play change at all, or the way you're going to coach, does that change based on the way the elements are now going to change?
Well, that wasn't the question I thought you were going with, but
dang it. Yeah, what was the question you thought I was going to go with?
I knew his was a dumb question. That's why when you said
what was the good question?
Well, for me, the biggest question is, okay, when we went to TCF, we had to make that field our home stadium, right?
Yeah.
Well, now just because we move into a new stadium doesn't mean we have home field advantage. You know, there's one team recently that went into a big, nice, beautiful place and didn't win a game. They're at home that year. They won all their games on the road. And so we have to make it a home field advantage by, number one, playing good, which gets the fans into it because they understand good football. And so we have to be able to play good in that new building, because right now our players don't even know how to get from the parking lot to the locker room. So, you know, it's no different than when we started TCF. So I am concerned about that. As far as your other question, you know, I think it's more important that whatever team we end up having, that's how we have to play, whether it's here or anywhere else. And like I said, when we went to TCF, you know, the team that we can go out in this out here on this fairway and play somebody, and if we play better than them, we'll win. So it doesn't really matter where we play. It's more like how we play.
Last question for you, because I know we got to get out there. I'm just a mediocre midday talk show host, and I'd like to get some national notoriety, and anything you say is going to get picked up. Can you, like, you know, like, you know, guarantee you're going to win the NFC North, or you're going to the Super Bowl, or trash talk Green Bay or something right now, because it'll get out.
Yeah.
And then and they'll say it was said on my show, and my name will get out there. And that would be important. Yeah. Are you willing to do that?
I'm probably not that guy. But, you know, I did see where, you know, everybody else is favored to do everything. We won't make the playoffs, and we won't win the division again, and so on and so forth. So, but, you know.
You like that, though, don't you?
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, we play better when we have a chip on our shoulder, I think, than when we're the.
I think a lot of people do, don't they, really?
Yeah.
I mean, people
kind
of like it. In athletics, you're always being challenged. So it's like, oh, you don't think we can do it, huh? And then,
So, you know, the team that has all the glitzy, oh, you guys are so great, you know, that it's just, a lot of human nature. So I'm usually the bad guy, and I remind the players about all the bad stuff that I hear.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
You bet.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the first two seasons, 7-9, 11-5. Pretty good. Good luck this year.
Thank you.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Vikings. We're broadcasting live from the Meadows at Mystic Lake for the Vikings Children's Charity Golf Tournament. We'll be back after this on the